The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I'm going to go ahead and get started this morning. I don't know if I finished my statement, but 24 years, or this month, August, is 24 years of ministry for me. I started pastoring 24 years ago. So, and praise God, you know, that's an incredible miracle. My first year of pastoring, I didn't know if I was going to survive. So praise God, we're able to just keep serving the Lord no matter what. No matter what comes our way. And here's something that we've been talking about that I have experience with this. Fear. Fear is a liar. And last week we started this message talking about fear. And I used Zach Williams' video, Fear is a Liar. And we recognize that fear is real. You know, we know that there's natural fears. And we all have to deal with natural fears. Natural fear keeps you safe. If you fear something, you stay away from it in the natural. But there's unnatural, irrational fears that come upon people. And I talked about all kinds of irrational fears that people have. One of the craziest ones that, to me, and I know it's real for people, so I'm not going to make light of it, but fear of clowns. Lots of people have fear of clowns. And probably came from when they were a child, some kind of traumatic situation took place with them and a clown. So there's all kinds of different kinds of fear, but that's really, even though it's real in the mind of the person, it's really an irrational fear that we need to be able to overcome those kinds of fears. So that's what I'm talking about today. We're going to continue to talk about fear because it's a feeling that's induced by perceived danger or threat. Sometimes it's a real threat, but many times it's just a perceived threat. We just think the worst of the situation. We think about how horrible this situation is going to be, and because of that, fear rises up inside of us, and fear takes control of us. Fear can be triggered by real or perceived situations. Fear is a chain reaction that takes place in your mind and it manifests in your body. It manifests with tension, tightening of muscles. It manifests with the inability to be able to think clearly. One of three things happens in a person's life when they have a fear, when they fear a situation. They either freeze, fight, or flee. One of three things happens. When you're afraid, you're going to freeze, fight, or flee. And let me tell you something. If you choose to fight, you're not going to fight as well as you think you could. If you're fighting in that situation, you need to help. You need to allow God to help you to overcome this situation. Don't try to fight it by yourself. Amen. God has given us this, has not given us that spirit of fear. And remember, it's a spirit. Therefore, you need to understand that we can overcome this spirit that is coming against us. So we're talking about natural, unnatural, or rational, irrational. The psychological world calls it phobias. And a phobia is an exaggerated, unusual, inexplicable, and logical illogical fear of a particular object, class of objects, or a situation. A few years ago, the Los Angeles Times did a story on people who had fear of heights. And they interviewed a psychotherapist who was the head of the Anxiety Disorder Association in that area. He said that he had a gentleman that was one of his patients that could only cross the 200-foot-high Chesapeake Bay Bridge if his wife was driving and she locked him in the trunk. Can you imagine being locked in a trunk? No, that would freak me out. How about you? I don't want to be locked in the trunk. But he could only cross it. And they needed to cross it because it was part of their life every day. So he had to get in the trunk. And this guy was working with him to overcome his fear. Seems illogical, doesn't it? To most of us. If you have a fear of heights, maybe it doesn't. Maybe you understand. But regardless, in this man's mind, it was better to get in the trunk than to go across that bridge and see what's going on. That's how illogical it can be sometimes. So if you're listening to this message, you're ready. You may be ready. I hope you're ready to deal with your fears. And that's what I want to do is share with you this morning steps for dealing with fear. Today, we're going to talk about be aware. That's the number one thing that we need to do. It's important to realize that you're not defined by your setbacks or the things that's happened, your experiences that have happened to you in the past. That's where most fear comes from things that have happened in the past or things that you perceive might happen in the future. Once you become aware of your fear, you're now ready to be able to overcome that fear and be more powerful. And you're ready for the Holy Spirit to minister to you and help you move through that fear and beyond that fear. Listen, I'm not trying to say that you can do, people or humans can do this on their own. I don't believe we can. When we have these kind of irrational fears, it takes the Holy Spirit to minister to us and help us to be able to overcome these kind of fears. And that's part of this process, is trusting that God is in control and that He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Here's a quote that I picked up from somewhere. I don't even know who said it, but I like it. It says this: it's impossible for a person to act consistently against what they believe in their heart. And it's very biblical. Listen to what the scripture has to say. And I want you to understand, your fear begins with your thinking, but it becomes a part. It settles in your heart. It settles inside of you. It becomes a part of you. And once something becomes a part of you, you act on it instinctively. And that's why it has control of you. Let's see what Proverbs 23:7 says. For as he thinks, he's talking about a person, in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You've all probably known people that have said things to you that sounded good. Yes, you know, come over anytime. Come over, you know, I'll feed you. We'll just have a good time. We'll talk. But once you got to know this person, you realize they really didn't want you around. They said these nice things about you, but in reality, they didn't really reach out or care about you. There are people, listen, there's leaders in our society. There's leaders in churches sometimes that say things, but don't really follow through with those things. They don't really believe it in their heart. They say, I love you, I care about you, but it's obvious by their actions that they really don't. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that has to be a part of your heart. So as you think, so it gets into your heart, and whatever you say, it may not line up with your heart, but eventually you cannot hide what's in your heart. If you have a fear, it's going to come. You can try your best to hide it. You can keep people from knowing that you have this crazy fear, but it will be exposed eventually. Yeah. It'll come out. And rightfully so. That's the only way you're going to deal with it. Be aware of it. Your fear begins in your thinking. Let's go on. Let's look at from the flip side of that. In Psalms 37:30, it says this: the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So why does he speak wisdom and he's righteous? Because in his heart, in a person's heart, is the law of God. So when you take the law of God, the power of God, the word of God, and you get that in your heart, then it can change the way you feel, even about fear. It can, you can overcome it. Now, I'm not telling you that it's an easy process. I'm not telling you that you can just do this, you know, say this scripture one time and all your fears are going to go away. That's ridiculous. We are in a battle. We're fighting against an enemy. That enemy has minions, and one of his minions is the spirit of fear. And he's going to come against you, come against you, come against you, and you've got to battle him. You've got to fight. You've got to know that the enemy, his purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he'll do everything he can to destroy you, to steal from you, to kill you, to take everything you have if he can. And he starts with your thinking because he knows it'll get in your heart. In Noah's day, before the flood, this is what God said about man. Genesis 6, 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, the thoughts of his heart, not just his thoughts, but what was in his heart, was continually evil. Now, we all battle this, as I, you know, mentioned this, the idea that we are in a battle. We all battle sometimes negative thoughts. And some things that could be considered evil thoughts. That's why we must capture our thoughts and bring them under the subjection of Jesus Christ. So when we capture those thoughts, this is part of the process. We're working. We're capturing those thoughts. We're not allowing the thoughts of our heart to become evil continually. And if we stop it. Now, that process can start today in your life. You can begin to capture your thoughts and begin to think the good things that Philippians tells us to think on. And you can stop the process. It's, like I said, it's a continual process. You have to take the word of God, the commandments of God, and put them, starts in your mind, get them in your heart. So that when you encounter a situation where you may feel fear or be negative in that situation, now, instead of being that way, the word of God rises up inside of you. You don't even have to think about it because it's in your heart. Yeah. It's inside of you. Yeah. Thank you. Praise God for that. Yeah. After the flood, Noah's grandson, or Noah's son, Ham, had a grandson. His name was Nimrod. Nimrod led the people of God in rebellion, and you may know the story of the Tower of Babel, where they built this great tower to heaven. It was a rebellion against God. And because of that, God confused all their languages. But here's what God said about these people. And it's really, we really need to take note of this, because it's not just, you know, these things do not work on our behalf just in a positive realm, positive way when we start working on them. They also work in a negative realm. So if we all come together with a negative or an evil intention, guess what will happen? We'll bring about that evil intention. That's right. This is what God said. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be held from them. The word propose there, that King James says purpose, but it means to fix your thoughts on. And when you fix your thoughts on something, it gets in your heart. Yeah. It's a part of you. So whatever they fix their hearts on, they could bring to pass. Evil or good. That's why we're striving for the good. That's why we're striving to overcome. That's why we're striving to overcome this fear that the enemy would put up on us, no matter what kind of fear it is. Be aware of your fear. Understand that it is wrong. Look, God hasn't given us the fear, so where does the fear come from? It comes from the enemy. First of all, I believe what we need to do is repent of our fear, because fear is doubt. Yes. And when we doubt, we're not walking by faith. So repent. I'm not telling you you're a horrible sinner because you fear. I'm telling you, if you want to overcome your fear, first thing is repent. Ask God to heal your heart. Help ask the Holy Spirit to intervene and change your attitude. Fear is not your friend. Fear is a liar.
That's right.
I back up what I'm saying with this scripture. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. There's torment in fear. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Ask God to make you perfect in love.
Yes.
Amen. Fear is a natural experience that we have. But it should not control us. Nikita Khrushchev was a leader in Russia when the Communist Party was very strong. He had served under Joseph Stalin, but when Khrushchev became the premier of Soviet Union, he denounced the horrible atrocities that Stalin perpetrated on the people. He didn't, you know, although he was a staunch communist, he didn't believe in the way that Stalin handled the people. There was mass murders. There was so many horrible things that took place under Stalin. But Khrushchev, he always condemned those things. And one day, he was talking to a group of people. And he said to this group of people, he was telling them that he didn't believe in Joseph Stalin's way of doing things and that he condemned it. And somebody in the audience yelled out, you were in his administration. Why didn't you stop it? And he immediately said, who said that? Very sternly. And it was just silence. No one said anything. And then very calmly he said, now you know why I didn't say anything. Drove his point home very well. Fear is a very powerful tool that is used by despots all over the world. They use fear to control people.
That's right.
The enemy is using fear to control people. But we do not have that spirit. We have the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. First thing is, be aware of your fear. The phrase fear not occurs 144 times in the Bible. I think God wants us to understand. He's driving home this perspective. Do not fear. Identify your fear. What is the underlying or real cause of your fear? That's really what we want to get at. Getting inside of your head and your heart, you got to understand, where did this fear come from? Fully understand why you have this fear. Listen, many times what we do is we just try to put the fear out of our mind and pretend like it's not there. And guess what? It just creeps right back in and takes control. We've got to face it. We've got to identify it. Recognize why this fear has come upon you. Why you have this fear, and recognize that it may not be a natural fear, but it's a fear that you have. It's real to you. Identify that fear. Know that it is there, and pray and seek God. Ask God to show you where the fear came from. What caused you to feel such fear about, and you fill in the blank. What is it that's caused you to have that fear? Think about it. Don't dwell on the fear, but think about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to share. Listen. Holy Spirit can heal your heart if you allow Him to show you things that have taken place in your past. It's supernatural. And he can heal it. James 5:16 says this, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's the New King James. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation. You get the next one? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I love that. It's great power and it produces results. And your righteousness is not based on how good you are. It's based on Jesus, on His blood, and the fact that He has made you the righteousness of God. Therefore, when you pray, you can expect great power and great results in the name of Jesus. Turn it over to your God. He is faithful. A few years ago, I read a story about a man who had some fierce hunting dogs. He hunted bear. And these hunting dogs were fierce dogs. They would face to face with a bear and bring that bear down. But he had a problem with his hunting dogs. They were afraid of chickens. Doesn't make any sense, does it? But here's what happened. When they were puppies, the guy had chickens, and the chickens were much larger and dominated the puppies. The chickens harassed the puppies. So from that time on, those dogs were afraid of chickens. Now, my grandchildren sometimes, we used to have a rooster. It was a little wild and crazy. You know, roosters are sometimes. We have a really good one now, but that rooster would chase some people. He knew who he could chase and who he couldn't. You know, roosters are pretty smart. The enemy knows who he can chase and who he can't.
That's right. Come on.
Amen. So the kids, you know, they learn to be afraid of roosters. Now that we have this one, they're learning that, hey, this guy's all right. He's pretty good. But it's sometimes our fear is a learned behavior, something that has happened to us in the past. And that's why I said that it's so important that we identify this thing. What caused this fear to come upon me? What's going on? What can I do? Lord, show me what this is and show me how to heal it. Be aware and identify. This third thing I want to share with you this morning is confront. How do you confront it? You confront it with the Word of God. Once you are aware of it, once you identify it, you confront it. You say, hey, Spirit, I know that you're a spirit. The Word of God tells me you're a spirit. And therefore, this spirit is not going to control me. I tell you, Spirit, that you, your spirit of fear, you have no control over me. You shall not direct my life. I have the spirit of love, and of power, and of a sound mind.
That's right.
I have a clear mind, clear understanding. I know what you're trying to do to me, so I confront you in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You can know the mind of God. You can know the mind of Jesus Christ because you have that same mind. It's called Holy Spirit in you. You can overcome. Confront it. Confront it in the name of Jesus. Talk to it and tell it, you have the mind of Christ. In his book, Failing Forward, well, John Maxwell has some things to share. But here's something that I believe that we need to be conscious of in regards to fear and failing. Here's a kind of a personal checklist that you can use. Does this fear come basically from pride a fear that I will not live up to my own expectations or those of others. Listen, that can be a horrible fear. If you think you have to live up to the expectations of someone else, that person is controlling you. That's a fear that you have. Don't allow that to happen. Do I remember that God has called me first to faithfulness, then to efficiency? Do I trust the Holy Spirit is working before me, with me, and through me? Do I remember that I am called to be neither more nor less successful than Jesus Christ? Do I remember that God does his greatest work when I seem to be weakest? Amen? Isn't that, after all, the mystery of the Holy Spirit inside of us, giving us strength to do things that we could not do on our own? Be aware, identified, and comfort. And confront, I'm sorry. Number four, the last thing I want to share with you is act. You're not going to overcome your fear unless you act against it, in contrary to it. When it comes down to it, fear is just a fear. What was one of our famous presidents said? We have nothing to fear but fear itself. I believe it was Roosevelt said that. Nothing but fear itself. Well, fear is powerful. But our God is much more powerful. Most of the time, there's no real rational reason for our fears. We live in a pretty comfortable society. Things sometimes seem like they're out of control. I know we've had some horrible shootings and things that have done. There's been all kinds of acts, hateful acts taking place, perpetrated against people. But the reality is, we live in a pretty peaceful area, and thank God for that. So typically, the fears that we have are simply a part of our imagination. No? When you decide to take some action and face that fear becomes much smaller than you realized. Action kills fear. 2 Corinthians 7:4 says, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears." The Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle that recorded in the history of the Bible, had fears that he had to confront. He had to deal with his fear every time he went out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's another scripture. He talks about it, 1 Corinthians 2:3 and 4. "I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Here's where he makes it perfectly clear to us. Yes, he had fear, but he operated under the power of Holy Spirit. He did not allow his fear to dominate him. He confronted it and he acted, regardless of how he felt. Listen, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to act in spite of fear. John Maxwell also says this about fear in his book, Failing Forward. He says, fear sets up a vicious cycle in our life. You fear, you become inactive. You no longer experience. Inexperience. You do not experience things. Then it makes you unable to act. It's a cycle of inability to act. So you fear, you become inactive, you no longer have experiences, and you're unable because the fear has you paralyzed. That's what it does to you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, Hezekiah is the king, the new king in Israel. The Bible says he's a good king.
He tried to do things right. He got rid of all the Baal worship, all the Asherah poles, and all the ungodly sacrifices to demons. And he was doing what was right in the eyes of God. But then a king by the name of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against him. Assyria was a dominant force at that time. They were the empire of empires during that time. They were the military force. And they wanted to conquer everybody in sight. So he was coming against them. Now he was moving toward Jerusalem and toward Judah. So the king decided to prepare himself. He did everything he could. He organized them militarily. He blocked off the waterway so that they wouldn't have water to drink. He fortified his cities, preparing, knowing that it was coming. But in the reality of still knowing that there was something coming that could cause great fear, what did he do? He did everything he could do. He took action. And he was prepared. And when the king came, he said all kinds of horrible things about the God of Israel, about the ruler over Israel, the God of gods and the King of kings. And they just listened, but they trusted their God. Here's what it says. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now listen, I want you to understand, they fortified their cities. They organized their military ranks. They were prepared to fight. But here's what happened. That night, God sent an angel that decimated the army of Assyria. And Sennacherib went back to his homeland defeated and ashamed, is what the Bible says. Defeated and ashamed. And then some of his sons came into one of his godless temple or Baal worship temples and killed him. God will work on your behalf. But listen, you've got to do your part as well. Make sure that you confront it. Make sure you take action. Make sure that you recognize that, yes, this fear is real in your mind, but your God is greater than any fear that can come upon you. God, if God is with you, who can be against you? Fear not, says the Lord. Fear not. Today, we can do what is necessary to overcome fear. Mm-hmm. We can be aware of it. Aware, just know. Identify it. Identify your fear. Confront that fear with the Word of God and then take action to overcome that fear. Stand with me. You may be in here this morning and you just say, well, this sermon's not for me. I don't fear anything. I hope that's the way you are. But I'd say most of us experience some kind of fear in our life. And we can be overcomers in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you to bow your head with me. If you do have a fear that you're wanting to overcome, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand because we're going to pray together. Amen. See those hands? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father God, I praise you for those who faithfully raise their hands. You know, I don't know what their fear is. It doesn't matter that I know. You know, and that's what's important. You understand. And Father, allow them to glean something from this message about fear. to glean the truth of your word, that you have not given us that spirit, but you have made us powerful. You've given us love. You've given us a clear, sound mind of Christ to overcome. Father, today, I just praise you that I can speak truth to the people here. Today, fear be gone in Jesus' name. Today, they will take action. They will confront, and they will begin to overcome. Whatever that fear is, they are overcomers. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have an awesome day. Remember, love never fails.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.